Today's Bible reading will be taken from Psalms 1, page 431 of the Pew Bible. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction.
Last Sunday of 2024, we're preparing for 2025. We need to be men and women who remember that God's word is still powerful to save and to transform lives. Let me take you back to the year 300, in the 300s, and there was a man from North Africa, a teacher of philosophy, widely respected for his learning and intelligence. And you see his name there, Augustine. He wasn't always a Christian. His story goes something like this. It said, like most people around him, he was a pagan. He also lived a life of sexual immorality. By his own admission, he was enslaved by lust. Then a fellow teacher, a Christian, gave the young man a copy of the book of Romans. As he read the book of Romans, he immediately knew that this book was different to anything he'd ever seen. It touched him deeply. He saw himself as a sinful man separated from God, and he had no hope of finding peace or joy in the way in which he lived, and despair seized his heart. He threw himself to the ground and cried out to God to free him from his sin. As he threw himself to the ground, that moment a child was singing a nursery rhyme which said, pick it up and read it, pick it up and read it. In the sovereignty of God, he picks up his book of Romans and turns to the 13th chapter. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For him, the words cut through his anguish and confusion, and he immediately surrendered his life to Christ. The year was 386. His name was Augustine. He went on to become one of the key leaders of the young Christian church. While the Roman Empire crumbled all around him, the church grew and grew. His books, The City of God and the Confessions, still profoundly influenced Christians around the world 1,600 years later. It all happened because someone gave God's word to a sexually promiscuous young intellectual. What or who will you listen to in 2025? The battle for your mind is everywhere. Friends, online, podcasts, music, telephones, radio, magazines, lecturers, psychologists, philosophers, politicians. Who will you listen to in 2025? Someone reminds us to listen to God through his word. God's word is powerful to save and to transform. And friends, the Psalms are a beautiful collection of songs and poems to encourage God's people to worship God, and to confess their sins, and to remember him. And Psalm 1 is what is called a wisdom psalm. It's similar to the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the Song of Songs. And it reflects the thought of the wisdom literature in general, and the book of Proverbs in particular. Probably written as an introduction to the Psalter. What do we start with? As you're about to go to worship, as you're about to think about God, and sing songs in church, in the synagogue, what are you going to think about? Starts with Psalm 1. And it begins with the attractiveness of the godly life. He said, blessed is the one. Blessed is the one. And the righteous introduces blessed and happy. That's important. If you're a follower of God, you are blessed and happy, not miserable and sour, right? If you are a child of the living God and you're hearing God's word and you're in relationship with God, he said, blessed are you. Highly favoured of you. How rewarding is the life of a person who lives like this? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. You can be blessed or happy from a negative perspective by avoiding the advice, the lifestyle, and the assembly of the wicked persons, is what he says here. Three things to avoid if we want to listen to God. Number one, do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't be guided in your thinking by those who are against God. You see, the wicked in the Old Testament are the enemies of God, and therefore the enemies of God's people. There'll be ungodly people trying to influence your mind in 2025. He says, don't listen to them. They're enemies of God and enemies of God's people. And advice comes right throughout the book of Proverbs. Let me give an example of one. There's one, I could have chosen any number. Proverbs 5 is a temptation to be drawn into illicit sexual pleasure by immoral women who fail to honour their marriage vows. So an example is, my son, pay attention to my wisdom, listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain distraction and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey and her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life, her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Be careful who you go, men or women, whatever the case is. Be careful you are not led into immorality. One example of the advice of the wicked. Let me illustrate some of the counsel that we will get in 2025. You'll get advice like, lie to get yourself out of a sticky situation. Look after number one, it's your life, do what you want. Accumulate wealth, goods, property, family. The more you have, the happier you will be, people will tell you. Live it up. You worked hard, it's your money. Have another drink. Be one of the boys or one of the girls. We'll throw that one into the night congregation tonight. Or you love your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and what's wrong with sleeping with them? God's a killjoy. You don't need to listen to God. God doesn't know what he's talking about. Oh, by the way, the Bible is written for the old-fashioned people. It's not applicable today in the modern age. Just go with the flow. Don't let religious hang-ups restrict your pleasure. You're created for pleasure, the world will tell you. Gender is fluid. Homosexuality is normal. Marriage equality should be celebrated, is what the world will tell you. Abortion. You didn't need this child or want this child. You can't afford it. It may restrict your career choices. This child has disabilities. Well, it's just a blob of cells. Not human. It may become human later, but it's not human now. It's a simple operation. Or euthanasia, well, mercy killing. You have the right to choose to die, it's your life. The atheist will say, there is no God, do what you like. We're simply highly developed animals. You live, you die, that's it, it's finished. What happens after death? Don't worry, you just rot in the grave. Go out and get what you can out of life. I remember a friend who died at the age of 40, and one of my colleagues said, oh, well, that just reminded me. I thought it might remind him about the brevity of life and the importance of living for Christ. You know what it reminded him of? Oh, I might die tomorrow, just go out and party. The non-Christian mindset. Universalism, this is, sometimes you'll hear this in churches. There are many paths to God. We'll all end up at the same place in the end. Don't bother evangelizing. As someone said to me once, who happened to be a Catholic priest, don't bother evangelizing. It'll be all okay in the end, he said. We'll all get to heaven in the end. Don't listen to the advice of the ungodly. And secondly, don't stand in the way of sinners. It's one thing to listen to their advice. It's another thing to then conform to their way. You sort of listen, and after a while, yeah, I think that could be right. And you start doing what they told you to do. Don't conform to the way of sinners. Don't behave like them. They miss the mark. They deviate from God's path. They put themselves under the judgment of God. Don't do it. Don't share their life. And don't sit in the seat of mockers. Do not sit in the gathering assembly of the mockers and the scoffers. You see, you hear their advice, then you start to behave like them, then you're one of them. That's the picture. That's the progression, downward spiral. You hear the advice, think, oh, yeah, maybe. You start to act like the ungodly acts, and in time, you just live like them. You just belong amongst the ungodly. You see, you sit in a seat of scoffers and you mock God and you do whatever you want to do with your life. Like the man who said to me once at a Good Friday service, he said, I used to believe in God. Don't worry, you'll grow out of it. Let me say 46 years later, I haven't yet grown out of it. But it's a mocking. Oh, I had religion once. You'll grow up. Expect to hear that a few times in 2025. And friends, you may know people who were part of this church who now deny God and his ways. They listen to the ways of the ungodly. They participate in their lifestyle and they sit in judgment of God and his word. And it breaks your heart and it breaks my heart. And so we call out to God in prayer that God would do his saving work in their lives. Great to see what sometimes I meet people later in life and said, oh, I'd made a decision, I went out into the world, but God has brought me back to my senses. Pray for that conversion of people. And then positively he says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on this law day and night? So don't do that one thing, listen to the scoffers and behave like them, but rather do something else. Fill your mind, fill your thoughts with God's word. Let me tell you about Benjamin. He was a barber in Brazil. Living in the northeastern Brazil, he felt his life was complete. He had a great job, good health. He loved his wife. And that didn't matter to one of Benjamin's customers, though. He knew Benjamin really needed God. It wasn't enough just to have what the world tells you you need. So he gave him a Bible. And Benjamin began to read the Bible. He hadn't had a Bible before. And he realized for the first time that he needed more than a comfortable life, and he accepted Jesus as his saviour. Now, something about new Christians, they're passionate evangelists. You ever met some of them? You just come to Christ when you thought you had everything, and now you've met Jesus and you receive Christ in your life, and there's this new energy and prayerfulness and excitement. You want to tell everyone else about this Jesus. You got some of that edge still at the end of the year? Maybe next week, beginning of a new year. Let's pray for that edge, eh? That cutting edge, that spiritual fervor that God gives us because we know Christ. And in his excitement, he began to share the good news with his customers and give them new testaments. Now, the owner of the barbershop wasn't happy. He said, Benjamin, if you lose one customer because of keep talking about Jesus, because you keep handing out bobs, if you lose one customer, you lose your job. But he didn't stop. And the customers kept coming. In fact, more customers came to the barbershop because he was handing out Bibles. There was soon a line waiting to get a haircut and a New Testament from Benjamin in the northeast of Brazil. One day, Benjamin was down to his last New Testament. It was going to be a while before the next order came through. He thought he should keep his last one on hand until more arrived. He told his next customer that he'd have to wait till his next haircut to get his Bible. Customer said, I came 50 miles to get my haircut because I heard you give out the New Testament. Benjamin felt a little bit reluctant, but he gave the man his last New Testament. Not long after that, Benjamin learned that 15 members of the man's family had come to know Jesus through that one New Testament. 15. And Benjamin is used to hearing that kind of story. I wonder what would happen if you and I were as excited about God's word and testifying to Jesus as Benjamin was. What will you delight in 2025? Will you delight in work, friends, children, grandchildren, food, travel, sport? They're all good things. I was at the football last night. Sydney FC had a good win, 3-0 over Melbourne Victory. I had a lovely meal on the way up there, had some Greek. It's good to enjoy good things. I was at the beach early enjoying Brighton Lee Sands. Got some exercise. We're not Not to delight in, God has given us all good things to delight in and to enjoy, but what has to have priority is God's concerns, God's will, God's purpose. And friends, God's instruction is not a burden, but a delight. See, the Word of God gives us instruction on how to have a right relationship with God, how to have meaning and purpose, have eternity secure through the work of Jesus. And friends, this year I'm planning to read through the Bible in a year again. And some of you know I've been using the Nikki Gumbel Bible reading plan for a few years. I got really slack last year. I didn't use it as often. Confession time. Got lazy. So I got a new tool this year. There's a book by Paul Tripp. It won't be online. I'll have to carry my book with me. It's called Everyday Gospel by Paul Tripp. He's a preacher I've heard speak here before. And so every day I read three chapters of the Bible, and it has a mini commentary, some thoughts and reflections on it. And so can I urge you to do something? Find an app online, get your Bible, get some plan that works for you so you're taking in God's word day after day after day. Then it says the righteous person's blessed position is illuminated in verse 3 by the simile of a tree. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Now, I have some trees in my backyard at the moment. They are not prospering. They're drying and dying, right? And partly because I don't water it, right? Because I figure if I don't water as much, I don't have to mow as much. It's a Greek philosophy. But you see, you ever seen a tree by the river, by a stream, constant flow of water, and they flourish? God says, that's what it's like when you take in God's word, listen to God, and let it transform your mind. You're like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. His leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. God brings blessing into your life and prosperity. And then in verse 4 to 5, talks about the futility of godless existence. It says, not so the wicked, they shall not prosper as the righteous. The life of the wicked is characterized by as being meaningless and worthless at the same time. They like chaff that the wind blows away. If you know anything about agriculture, you know it's talking about harvest time, where the practice of winnowing grain. The corn, still mixed with the broken straw and chaff, would be tossed into the air, and that period of time, with a pitchfork, throws up onto the village threshing floor. This is what happened during the period of the evening breeze. The breeze would blow away the light chaff and the husks, and the more substantial grain would fall back to the floor. You throw it up. The chaff, the worthless things, the things that don't matter, they are blown away. What is left is the grain. It says, chaff is providing a good description of all that was passing and useless. And God says, that's what it's going to be like for the wicked. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. And it takes us to, I'm sure you want to think about judgment on the final Sunday of the year. We had Christmas and joy and peace and babies and trees and light. We've still got the lights up for you. But he says they will not stand up in the judgment. Ultimately, there's a judgment coming. If you put your faith in Christ and you listen to God's word, are transformed by that, God brings blessing and prosperity. But the wicked who choose to ignore God and do their own thing will not stand in the judgment. They'll be rejected and miss out on life. And friends, there is a final separation there, verse 6. It says, the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. I love that. The Lord watches over. Or he knows the way of the righteous. He knows you. He knows your heart, he knows your mind, he knows your behavior right now. As you sit here, just take a moment. God knows you. He watches over you. You're not living an independent life and God is disinterested. God is very, very interested in you, your heart, your soul, your mind, your behavior. It implies a personal relationship with them. God has a personal relationship with you. Sometimes people say, oh, we can't talk about personal relationships. We just have to have faith in God. So, well, no, God watches over us. He knows us. We are his children. How can you not talk about a personal relationship with God when he calls us his children? And he brings us salvation. The wicked, on the other hand, will perish. They have rejected God's word. Friends, in Matthew's gospel, we read these words. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. We come to the end of 2024, and friends, we've seen some people become Christians this year. Hallelujah. Every single life that is transformed by Jesus is a miracle of God, isn't it? Every single one. And there's one there, and I can count one there, there's another one there, and another one there, and another one there. But it's still only a few through a narrow gate. We gather, sit here today, let me tell you, the beaches are full, the cafes are full, the holiday spots are full. Most people are not gathering with God's people to worship Jesus, the wide road that leads to destruction. Only a few find it. It's my prayer that we, as we serve Christ together, will see more and more people enter the narrow gate in 2025. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. We sang earlier, there is only one gospel. There's only one way of salvation, it's through Jesus. And part of our goal as a church is to see lives transformed through Jesus Christ to the glory of God. That's our vision statement. It's our vision statement 2024, it's our vision statement 2025. As we step across into the new year, we have a mission. Friends, there's only two ways to live in 2025. Trust in Christ and live according to his word, or follow the counsel of the wicked on the road to destruction. But I don't want you to give up on people. Let me conclude with a story of a fellow called Eric Lenistol. There he is on the screen. I read his story a couple of years ago, and it says this, telling his story. What is the likelihood of a young man from Sweden who described himself as a proud, argumentative atheist, a rather staunch communist, and a radical vegan, with a reputation of convincing believers to abandon their faith, become a leader in the Salvation Army in Australia? How did that happen? It says, this fellow was happily married with three beautiful young children. He was a conspicuous, confrontational atheist, skilled at debating, feared even by his fellow debaters, driven, a high achiever. Eric at best scorned Christians as weak, delusional, and misguided. That's what you are, he thought. Life's cripples in need of a crutch. At worst, he considered us frenzied fanatics, proud and boastful of his accomplishments in turning believers into non-believers. He enthusiastically met a challenge from a friend to read the Gospel of John. Again, someone said, take the word, have a read of that. As an opportunity, he took it as an opportunity to disprove the existence of God using those very scriptures as evidence. Upon reading the Gospel of John, he began to doubt his atheism. Against his better judgment and all that he had previously held dear, he attended incognito, he says, a Christian youth event. Probably one of those guys hiding up the back. Dark glasses, little beanie on, who knows. Just going to sneak in. Said, for the very first time, I voluntarily set foot in a church and the roof did not fall in. At the last possible moment, when they made an altar call, I left my seat, ran forward and knelt and surrendered to Christ. He joined the church and stayed, and in 2013 joined the Salvation Army in its mission to save souls, grow saints and serve the suffering humanity. When I picked up this article, he was now the Director of Distance Teaching and Learning at the Salvation Army's Booth College. And he says, I want to encourage everybody not to give up on those God has called you to reach out to. Pray for them, stand in the gap for them. No matter how discouraged you might feel at times, trust that God is at work in them. Who will you listen to? 2025. Listen to God and then take his word, make it available to others to the glory of God. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you that your word, Paul writes to Timothy, makes us wise for salvation. It teaches, it corrects, it rebukes and trains us in righteousness. And it helps us to live this new life. Lord God, we pray that we would have a joy, a real joy in reading your word, meditating upon it, studying it in our Bible study groups, hearing it proclaimed on a Sunday, in our Sunday gatherings, reading about it in theology books and other good Christian books, that we would fill our minds with your word and your truth in 2025, that we will not listen to the counsel of the wicked. God, that we would not behave like the wicked. We will not sit with them, with their mindsets and their behavior. God, do your work in us, we pray, for the glory of your name. Amen. Friends, we're going to sing a song of commitment called I Want to Know You. Invite the musicians forward. It's ultimately saying on this day, that is, Christ we want to know more and more, deeper and deeper, as we live for him. Let's stand and sing together.